Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Scheltema, and our guest this week, novelist and illustrator Andrea Torre-Balsara. The Great and the Small is getting a lot of attention, Andrea, including a great review in the latest edition of The Link.
Oh, thank you very much.
The story includes rats as main characters. Now, why did you write a book about rats?
Well, I have been asked that, especially by rat phobes. You know, why on earth would you write a book about rats? As an author, the first thing you try to do is to tell a story from a new perspective. Mm-hmm. And I had a specific idea that I wanted to explore. And the perfect antagonist for this were rats. The story is about a colony of rats who are led by a Stalinesque huge black rat nicknamed Papa, but he's their beloved chairman. And he has declared war on humanity. You know, they're sick of getting experimented upon. These rats are sick of being kicked and squished with boots, and they've had enough. And so what the beloved chairman eggs them on to do is to kill humanity using the bubonic plague. So they have death squads of rats infected with bubonic plague sent out, and humanity is, you know, they're starting to lose this battle. Deaths are mounting up. Now, the beloved chairman has this nephew, a scrawny little rat named Finn. And Finn has something to prove, and he adores his uncle and becomes one of his lead henchmen in leading these death squads, until one day he gets stuck in a rat trap and he faces certain death. And a teenage human girl named Ananda takes pity on him and rescues him from this trap, and over the next few weeks nurses him back to health. And to Finn's horror, over those few weeks, he learns not only to trust Ananda, but to love her. And now he's faced with this terrible choice, this moral dilemma. Does he follow his uncle and continue this genocide against humanity? Or does he do the unthinkable and rebel? If I had used fluffy bunnies as the antagonists in this story, nobody would have believed it. But rats have a special history with human beings. They are believed to have been the plague vectors or the plague carriers of plague-infected fleas that carried a deadly strain of bubonic plague to humanity. Yeah. And so in the 1300s in particular, there was this scourge that killed over half of the population in Europe. And so when humanity hears, you know, about rats, we all kind of do a collective shiver. And they actually are the one animal on the planet that would actually have a shot at taking us down if they could actually, you know, organize. So that's why I chose rats. And also because I like underdogs. I like animals that have a bad rap. And when you get to really study rats, you start to respect how smart they are, how resourceful. They can literally chew through concrete. Yeah, they're incredible creatures. And I had gotten a little rat as my reference, teaching me how about this new world of rats. So I fell in love with my little ratty. And I had not expected that, because prior to that, I found them pretty creepy, you know, with their weird little tails and stuff. But yeah, that's why I chose rats.
Well, I know there are a lot of people who do get seduced by their pets and rats as well as everything else. So how does it feel that your book has recently won all these awards you're getting?
It's really gratifying, and it, as much as I wish that I could kind of write in a vacuum and not worry about what other people think about it, it's also nice to know that other people connect with my story.
Well, and also that they will read it, because awards do help with that.
They do, yeah.
Tell us about the awards you've won.
The first one, it was a finalist in the National Indie Excellence Awards, mm-hmm. and then it won a silver in the Purple Dragonfly Book Awards, And as mentioned before, it was in the 2018 spring edition of the Best Books for Kids and Teens mm-hmm. magazine, which is put out by the Canadian Children's Book Center. Mm-hmm. And then just last week, I found out that it won a silver in the Moonbeam Book Awards.
Mm-hmm. So what is the message, if any, that you wish readers to take away from this book?
To think for themselves, to act following their own moral compass versus following blindly to whichever leader promises them easy answers.
Right. Well, thank you. And so please now read to us from The Great and the Small.
So this is from the prologue. Prologue has a quote from the 1300s. "And now disaster is at hand," by Gabriel de Musis, lawyer, Italy, 1348. The rat dug a burrow in the most remote area of the lower tunnels that she could find. She dug feverishly, using tooth and claw, feeling as she did that eyes watched her from behind. Her baby was curled up, asleep. A blessing. Expecting at every moment to feel long, curved teeth sink into her shoulder, she shuddered, making her fur ripple up and down her back. Finally done, she climbed inside with her wisp-thin pup, pulling him close. Her tooth marks grooved the damp earthen chamber. Dirt clung to her claws and trembled on the ends of her whiskers. The ever-present stink of the lowers hovered in the air like a brown fog. But she didn't care. Maybe here, at the end of nowhere, she and her baby could be safe. The mother's name was Nia. She let out a breath that she hadn't realized she'd been holding. Pulling her pup tight, Nia licked his head, his ears, his tiny pink paws. "Pip," she murmured. She'd named him Pip because he was as tiny as a seed. Seeds can grow into strong trees. "My sweet Pip," she whispered in his ear. Directly over her head, through 30 feet of dirt and rusting pipes, in the weak December sun, the Harbor City's popular market was bustling with people looking for last-minute presents. Middlegate Market was festive with its potted evergreen trees and strands of blinking colored lights. Shiny red balls trembled on the boughs of the tinsel-dressed pines as salt air gusted up the hill from the sea below and rattled the lights against the rafters where they were strung. Watching over all of this, under the faux Gothic clock, stood Middlegate's most famous tourist attraction, a brass statue modeled after the gargoyles of Paris's Notre-Dame Cathedral. The monster stood on guard, a 5-foot winged beast that stood meekly by, while tourists thronged around it, snapped selfies, and rubbed the creature's flared nostrils for luck. That was the side of the market the tourists saw, and the locals loved. They had no idea of the other side. The one that lay below. A distinct world with its own ways, its own rules. A colony of rats. Tunnels wound underneath the hill, tooth-carved thoroughfares veiled from the eyes of humans. There were tunnels high up and tunnels below that snaked deep into the hill's belly. The uppers were dug alongside the city's swanky cafes and eateries, and food was never far away. But lower down the hill, below the heart of the market, it was different. Tangles of narrow tunnels limped through broken pipes, leaking sewers, and sodden earth, connecting scores of foul-smelling, crumbling burrows. No rat lived in the lowers by choice. Except one, that is. Nia had been staring, listening, for many beats of her heart. Nothing. Her son lay in the warm crook of her belly, snoring softly. Nia's eyelids drifted closed. She shook them open. But the warmth of Pip against her, his sweet newborn smell, made her sleepy. Her eyelids wavered, so sleepy. Shush! Her eyes flew open. A brush of sound came from the outside tunnel. Nia pushed her pup down and stood over him, scanning the air with her nose. Pip squirmed under her with a squeak of protest. Shh! Nia lowered herself and pulled him close, hardly daring to breathe. Her abandoned burrow in the upper still held the bodies of her other pups. They lay scattered around like dried leaves. On each of their necks, a single bite mark, a red half moon. She had not been able to save them, but here, now, there was still hope. She kept her eyes on Pip. Nia, a voice broke the stillness. She gasped and fumbled to hide Pip beneath her. Go away, she cried. Tears bunched behind her eyes, threatening to spring. A shadow filled the entrance hole. You're not still angry, are you? I had no choice. No choice? Nia laughed bitterly. Yes, poor you. Poor helpless you. As she spoke, Pip wriggled out from under her. He sniffed the air like a wobbly snake. She grabbed him and pushed him back down. But it was too late. The shadow hissed. You hid one from me? You deceitful, conniving! You can't have Pip, said Nia through gritted teeth. Tears dripped onto Pip's head and darkened his fur like a bloom of blood. I will not let you! The voice roared with laughter. You won't let me? You have no choice! No! She screamed. Nia coiled her back legs and leaped, claws extended, teeth bared. The figure met her midair. She dug her claws into his back and tore at his thick, ropey neck with her teeth, but was flung against the wall. Pain shot through her. Run, Pip! She screamed, even though her pup was too young to understand. The voice laughed. Yes, Pip, run! They rolled over and over, ripping, scratching, biting. Shrieks echoed off the wall. There was scuffling, a squeal, and then silence.
Thank you, Andrea. So where can people purchase your books, Andrea?
The Great and the Small is available as an ebook. The Nightingale Song is only available as a soft cover picture book. Mm-hmm. And if people go onto my website, which is www.toribalsara.com, it has links there for
okay.
the books.
And can they be bought through Amazon as well?
The Great and the Small can be. The Nightingale Song is by a very, very small publisher in the States, and it is only available through the link that's on my website.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So, listeners, to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.